I may cough my way through this again. I feel good, but I've got junk in my throat, and I've done everything, including have people pray for me. Nothing has worked. The only thing that ever worked, it was a couple years ago. I just had the same thing. It was in the evening. I was with a friend, and he said, "Here, take some of this. This always works." And I should have known. But I took it, and all of a sudden, my whole body just starts getting warm, and I mean, it had like carbonation. It cleared me out. It warmed me up. I thought, man, I didn't like the taste of it, but if it worked, it was fine. I said, "What was that?" He said, "Whiskey." Okay. So if any of you have whiskey, I could... I don't imbibe, but I'm hoping I don't choke my way through this here this morning. We're starting a new series this morning. It's called Love One Another. And the reason that we're doing it is because we have been working hard, and I've tried to focus us through the use of the prayer cards and through the through some of the preaching, to understand that each one of us is responsible to fulfill the Great Commission, because the Great Commission was given to each Christian individually. And as all those as individuals fulfill the Great Commission, then the Great Commission moves forward, the church moves forward, people come to Jesus, people are baptized. I mean, it all happens because we take responsibility for the Great Commission. The reason that loving one another is so important and so critical for us to focus on, and the reason, the goal for this series, is to help and challenge each one of us to take one more step, to elevate our game one more notch. And that game is to actually be conscious of and actually on a daily basis love one another. Whether it's husband, wife, parent, teenager, however it is, whether it's people we work for, people on our prayer cards, neighbors across the street, those of us here, we are looking to elevate that love one another practice one notch. And the reason it's so important is because that is the atmosphere in which the Great Commission can be used. But even more important than that is the words of Jesus himself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second command is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. This is the foundation of faith. This is the foundation of the Christian life. This is the foundation of all of the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. This is it. And so it behooves us to pay attention to this. Jesus gave us a new command. And you would think, well, if you're giving us a new command, what was wrong with that old one? Because you told us there's nothing more important, so how could a new one be even more important than that? We're going to take a look at how that happens and what that new command is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. So please turn there in a Bible on whatever device you have. And if you're using the Bible in the rack in front of you, page 986. So if you would turn there and follow along in your Bible, please, as Greg reads that passage to us.
We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, the challenge of the past few weeks has been for your Spirit to give us understanding so that we could believe good news that was too good to be true. The challenge in these next 5 weeks is that you would help us do something that we don't naturally want to do. And yet it is so critical that Jesus has told us there is no greater commandment than to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. And it's in particular the last half of that we're focused on in these weeks. We know, Father, that without loving you, we can't love others with any kind of abandon. So we will focus on loving you. And then through all that we gain from loving you, we're going to look at loving others. So give us understanding this morning. Grant me words, I pray. Grant us ears to hear. And I pray, Father, that you would grant us hearts to obey throughout this coming week. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So I'm going to start out this morning in the most boring way that I could ever think of starting out any kind of message in which I was talking to you. The good news is that after these first 2 or 3 minutes, it can only get better, okay? And the reason I'm going to tell you that this is probably the most boring way that I could ever address you is because I'm going to give you a quick lesson in basic Greek grammar. How boring could it get, right? So there is such a thing in Greek called the present tense. That present tense is usually continuous, and when you see the present tense, you know that whoever's using it is trying to say something special. There are other ways that people can use verbs in the Greek language to communicate to us. When you use this one, you're trying to say something a little special, and it's about continuous kind of action. The perfect tense, you'll notice, is in kind of a yellow. It also indicates a continuous action, but when an author uses the perfect tense, what he's saying is there was a time and a place when this wasn't true, when something wasn't true of you, and there was a time and a place when it became true, and from that time until now, it continues to be true. So it also is continuous. The reason this is so important is if you don't get the idea that John, who wrote these few verses that we're dealing with, is talking about something that you continually practice and do, you're going to come away thinking, I'm in big trouble, because what he's telling me to do, I don't always do, and what he's telling me to not do, I'm pretty typically doing that. And what John is trying to get across here is not that you have to be perfect. In fact, in chapter 1, he said, if anybody claims to be without sin, right, they're sinning, and they're lying, and it's not true. So He tells us in chapter 1 of this book of 1 John that we are going to sin. Sin is going to happen, and Jesus Christ is there for us, and we can rely on him, and he forgives our sin and all of the rest. But what he's saying in this section is that there are certain things that if they're your lifestyle, in other words, if your life trajectory is heading in this way, you're on a continual basis, you're doing this. Not always, you're going to sin. But if your life trajectory is this, not perfect because everybody sins, even after they come to Christ, but if this is your trajectory, if this is what you're continually doing, if we can see this in your life, if it's looking a lot like Jesus, if you're loving like he loved, that's what he's talking about. And the way that gets communicated sometimes doesn't come across in English translations. It can be very difficult to see in an English translation. So the present tense, all the way through these verses, you'll see highlighted in red, and you're going to see it a lot. And the perfect tense, that's also there. Again, it's continuous, and you're going to see that in these verses as well. So those verb tenses matter a lot to the understanding of 1 John 2. So with that, let's see if we can do something a little more helpful to your life, shall we? So he begins in verse 3, we know that we have come to know him, meaning God or Jesus. They're interchangeable. We're not sure which it is. It could be both. If we keep and continue keeping, notice the color there, again, present tense, continual, if this is your life trajectory, that you're obeying his commands. The interesting thing about this is he's saying we can know that we have come to know Jesus. We can know that we've come to know God. We can know that there is a relationship. We've come to have this relationship with him. In other words, you can be secure in this faith that you have. You can know that you're good with God. That's important. I mean, eternal life hangs in the balance. If you have to live your whole life wondering whether you're really saved or not, that's not a nice place to be. And so John is addressing that because there were issues there in that church. We can know that we've come to know him. And the way you know it is if our life trajectory is that we're keeping his commands. Whoever says, I know him, and again, perfect tense, notice the color. There was a time when you didn't know him, but now you do. And because you know him, there are continual results that are taking place in your life. So those who are saying, that happened to me. There was a time I didn't know him, now I do. Those who say, I know him, but don't do what he commands, is a liar. Not mistaken. Not slightly misguided. Not anything. A liar. And the truth is not in that person. This is a self-deceived person. This is a person that is, this is a sad place to be. You think you're good with God because you can know that you know him. But the person that says that and claims that and yet does not have a life trajectory that's saying, I'm obeying the commands of Jesus, that person is a liar and there's no truth in them. So these things that we're taking on this morning, serious business for all of us who believe. But if anyone obeys his word, notice how he uses the word of God, his word, the word of God, in a way synonymous with the word commands that we saw in verse 3. Obeys his commands. He's using them interchangeably. And so what we know is that the commands that are being spoken of are more than just this new command. I mean, it's all of the words of Jesus. It's all the things he commanded. Anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. There's a completeness, a fulfilling, a maturity that happens. And there was a time when it wasn't happening. Notice this. Notice the color. There's a time when it wasn't happening, but when something happened, you came to Christ, that's what happened, and you began this life, there are now things that are happening in your life as a result of that, and they're continuing. When you came to Christ, there were certain things that happened, and they're continuing to happen. And now, as you obey His Word, God is working in you to make the fullness of the love you have for Him complete. That's what He's doing. And this is how you know that you're in Him. Whoever continually lives a lifestyle claiming to live continually in Jesus, right? You're always claiming that you're always living in Jesus. You must continually live continually as Jesus did. So in the first couple verses, when you claim to know God, you obey His commands. Here, whoever claims to live in Jesus lives as Jesus did. Your life resembles Him. There's a time when it didn't. But when you gave your life to Him, something happened. And there are continuing results that just are now occurring in your life. And your life resembles more and more a love or a life like Jesus. This maturity or this completeness, we get a picture of it in another writing by the same author, John. Those who accept my commandments, Jesus said, and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and reveal myself to each of them. In other words, God Himself, the love of God, as we live that life in that kind of trajectory, we're obeying commands, we're living as Jesus did, there is a maturity in the love that we have, a maturity that God brings about because it's His business to bring that about. And as we obey His commands, He begins to reveal more and more of Himself to us. So there's a maturity that happens as we do this. That's what's being said about making complete, you know, we're being made complete in Christ. We're looking a whole lot more like Jesus. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. Interesting, this is a different verb tense, and yet it's continuous in nature. This was about something that happened in the past and happened continually in the past. In other words, this command that he's talking about, it's not a new one, it's one that was, well, it happened long ago. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. That was given long, long ago. And it was given repetitively several times. And now Jesus has said it. And so since the beginning, since way back then, or since Jesus said it was, here's this command. This is how we live. Nothing's more important. Or since you've heard it. It had a beginning somewhere, one of those. You've heard this. And this command was continually given. So it's not a new command. It's an old one. And yet it is the message you've been hearing. This message we've been proclaiming, it is that message. I am writing you a new command. So wait, which is it? Is it this old command? Or is it this new command? Well, what do we have here? I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is, notice the color, present tense, it's continually seen in Christ, in Him. It's continually seen in you. So what he's referring to here is that this old command that came from way back in the Old Testament, this old command that was repeated in the Old Testament, this old command, it's been around for a while. It's anchored in the Word of God. But its truth, the way it's worked out, the truth of it, it's now seen in Jesus, and it's so fresh. It's like nothing that's ever happened before. In Christ Jesus, we look at him and we see how he lived out, how he expressed this new command. And it's an old command, but because it's in Christ, because of the way he lived it out, because of the way he expressed it, because of the way he dealt with Zacchaeus, because of the way he dealt with the woman at the well, because of the way he lived among his apostles and taught them how to love. This command, it's, you can continually see it in him. And not only is that true, but all of those who say, I believe, I'm his, I'm in Christ, it's happening in them too. There's a whole new trajectory to their life. Just like Jesus lived out this way and this command in a way that's fresh and new and just so unique, that's how people are beginning to live it out. You who believe, you're beginning to do that. You're beginning to live out that new command just like Jesus was. So he's writing to you about this new command. It's the old one, but it's lived out in such a new way. It really is a new command, and he's giving it to us because the darkness is passing away. The evil, the sin, the wickedness, it's still here. It's still all over your life, all over our communities. This darkness, it's passing away. It doesn't look like it. Just think of the political situation in the United States of America. Does it look like darkness is passing away? Just read the book of Revelation. Is darkness passing away? One of the passages there said, if God hadn't, it's just going to get darker and darker and darker in this world. But it's passing away. Why? Oh, the true light, Jesus, and those in whom he lives, the light is already shining. It's already shining in the world, and it will get brighter and brighter and brighter. It will and is, because this new command is seen in him and it's growing in you. So anyone who continually claims, this is what they claim for their life, to be in the light, but hates a brother or sister, is still and continues to still be in the darkness. They're not in the light. The darkness that's passing away, that's where their life is located. They claim they're in the light. They claim they're tight with Jesus. They claim they're okay with him. But when you look at their lives, it is this self-deceived, self-centered life that they're living, and it can be revealed by their hatred for a brother or sister. Anyone who loves their brother and sister, on the other hand, lives in the light. They're constantly, continually living in the light of Christ. And there is nothing and continues to be nothing in them to make them stumble. And the picture here is this. There's a trap that's been set. There's a place where someone will be injured. And it would look like them walking along a path, and at just the right moment as they're walking along the path, someone pulls a trip cord tight. And as they're walking along the path, their feet get tangled in the trip cord. The trap has been set, and they fall into a pit, onto a stake, whatever it is. It's not a pretty picture. But what's being said here by God is that the person who lives in the light doesn't do that to people. They don't do that. They don't cause them to stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or a sister is in the darkness. The implication is, oh, they'll do that. They'll cause them to stumble. They're in the darkness. They walk around in darkness. Their whole life is enshrouded in darkness. They do not know, and there was a time maybe that they did. That's the implication to the perfect tense of the verse. There was a time when they did know where they were going, and it did have some implications, but now they don't know. There's a time where they don't know where they're going. There's a time where something happened, and now they're in blindness. Now they're in darkness. And what's being referred to here is that in that time, there was a whole cult that had developed. They're out there today. And the cult was this. Oh, we call ourselves Christians. We really are. But there's some more knowledge that you have to have. Jesus isn't enough. We know some things that you don't know. So you poor Christians are just a duped bunch of suckers. And we don't actually like you. In fact, you don't know the truth. We do. It was back a number of years ago. I was in my office and I got a phone call. And the guy on the end of the line, the other end of the line, said, "Can you convince me that there are three persons, but only one God? Can you convince me of the Christian Trinity?" And I could just tell, this is not going to go well. Right? And I told him that. I said, "No, I don't think I can. I don't think I can." And he talked to me about, why don't you think I can? I said, "I can tell just from your attitude, this isn't going to go well. I don't think you'd listen to me. But tell me what you think. Tell me what you think." And he went on an anger-laced diatribe telling me that Christ was not God. All right? The Holy Spirit was subservient to them both and so wasn't God. And proceeded to tell me that he was a Jehovah's Witness. The hatred that spewed from him was palpable. My heart was racing at times. And I would ask him a couple of questions. I thought, I'm going to use this to my benefit. I'm going to see what he's got. I'm going to see how he thinks. I'm going to go back through the scriptures and figure out where he's wrong so I can tell people where he's wrong. But it was the most unpleasant one-hour conversation because of the hatred that I experienced through a phone line. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is in darkness. They walk around in darkness. They don't know where they're going because the darkness has blinded them. That is precisely what had happened to him. And it was so evident because of the hatred that he had. I know hatred when I experience it, and it was very, very clear. The sad part of this is that he was so deceived. I claim to be in Christ. I claim to have the light. I live and walk in the light. But what this is saying, if you hate a brother or a sister, you are in darkness, you're walking around in darkness, and you have no clue where you are going. You are so self-deceived. You are so distanced from God. And the worst part of it is you are so deluded, you don't even know. You can't even figure it out. That's the situation that John was dealing with in the church to which he was writing here. So here's what we know. Here's how we sum this all up. Whoever says, "I know him, but does not keep his commands," he is a liar. Whoever says that, "I continually know him, I'm in Christ, but doesn't obey the commands," is a liar. What command are we talking about? We're talking about this old command that's a new command because it's constantly seen in Christ and those who follow him. And then we're told that whoever says, I abide in him, their life ought to be a whole lot like Jesus. It ought to look just like that. There ought to be a trajectory where they're doing that. Well, what did the life of Christ look like? Well, it looked like that old command, didn't it? Because he loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he loved others as himself. And he did that perfectly. That's what it looked like to be in Christ. And then we're told, whoever says, I'm in the light, well, there's a test for that too. If you hate your brother and sister, you're in darkness. But if you live in the light and you love your brother or sister, you love others, you're abiding or living in the light. That's what this section of 1 John 2 is trying to communicate to us. And so what we know for sure is this. For those who are in Christ, it's not a new command, it's an old one. But it's so new in Christ and in us right now. We know we have been given a new command. And what is it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the old command that's new in Christ. And as you read the entirety of the book of 1 John, you'll see that unleashed, unrolled, revealed, that this is the new command that John is talking about. This is the new command that we are taking really seriously all of our lives, but especially in the next 5 weeks. This is the command on which we're focused. And the focus in particular is that we are going to love God by loving others. We are going to love God by the way that we love others like Christ did. That's at the heart of the new command that's really the old one. And so I'm going to ask you for a couple of things right now. I'm going to ask you to consider a couple of things over the next 5 weeks that I think will help you to literally take steps to put this into practice. And these are the things that I'm going to ask you to do. One, memorize the key verse for the week. And what I mean by this is that each week, everybody that we have on our email database is going to get the verse. And each Sunday, I'll put it up here so you know if you don't get email, right? You can grab onto that one. And it's the one we've been talking about here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. I'm just going to ask you to take a few moments and memorize that verse so that it begins to permeate your thinking and your heart. There will be a different verse every week. There will be 5 of them. Just asking you, early on Sunday, you're going to get it. Noon, 12:15, it's already programmed. It's going to go out in the email. We're going to ask you between Sunday and Saturday to begin to memorize that verse, because as you bring the Word of God into your life and as you take that seriously, you'll begin to act on what the Word of God is encouraging you to do. The second thing is we're going to ask you to read the daily devotional that we're developing. Every day for the next 30 days, there will be a little devotional, and again, you're going to get this in your email each day. It's going to be short. There's one or two that will be long because the scripture is a little longer, but When I say long, I mean 300 words. It's not going to take you forever. But it's going to, again, just turn your hearts and turn your minds to this new command and actually practicing it and living it out to a higher level than you are currently. And we think that the combination of the memory verse and the daily devotional is going to help you do that. And then there's one more thing, and that is to make a journal entry at least once a week over the next 5 weeks. I know you're going to have to take 5 or 10 minutes out of your busy schedule to do that each week. I know, and I'm not being facetious, I know that's going to be difficult to do because I know the demands of your life. I'm living under those demands myself. But I know this, that when you take just a few minutes to begin to reflect on how you're doing at loving others as yourself, that will begin to focus your attention not only on God as you write to Him in a journal, but it'll help you focus your attention on those on your prayer cards, on your neighbors, on whoever, and how you can best take real, practical steps to love them as you love yourself. For those of you who do this electronically, every Sunday, we're just going to send out an email, so there will be one email with a devotional and a memory verse, and there will be a journal, some questions in a journal, so that you can do it electronically. You can just sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and reflect on how you're doing, on these memory verses, on whatever it is you're reflecting on, and how to love one another. For those of you that need a hard copy, we have some of these on your way out on the welcome table. It's just a little journal, and once a week, if you would just take some time and reflect with God on how you're doing at loving one another as you love yourself, I think that would help you ratchet up your love one another practices at least a notch. So the journals are out there. It's not the welcome table, which is over here. There's a table over here. You'll see them. Just grab one. In the front of it are the two questions that'll just prompt you to write. And again, that's coming electronically as well. So, one more thing. You have a response card. On your response card, there's room for your name and for your email address. And especially if you don't get our emails right now and you would like to, especially for this series, you can put your name and email there. There's some of you that may not want the devotionals and everything else. You can opt out, all right? We have an opt out on the electronic stuff that's going to come to you. And if you don't want to receive it, you just opt out and we won't send it to you anymore. But I'm asking you to consider those commitments I just mentioned to you. Emailing the daily, reading the daily devotional and memorizing and writing in your journal, okay? And there's one right at the bottom that I'm going to tell you about right now, and that is, would you be willing to participate in a focus group on December 1st? And so what's happening is when a number of us here at Syracuse Alliance designed this series and some of the things that we're doing here to help prepare all of our hearts to actually love others as we love ourselves, it occurred to me in August, this would be a great project for my doctoral project. And so I went to the doctoral office, I said, this is what I'd like to do, and they said, you're on, do it. That's a good project, but you got to have 2 focus groups at the end. So the focus groups would help me, number one, but as I thought of it, I thought, they'll help the church too. Because as we go through this whole 5-week thing and I have 10 to 20 people to sit with for an hour and ask, how did this go? What helped you? What didn't? What worked? What didn't? That's going to help us in series to come to put together series that will help you actually do what the scriptures tell you to do. And so it's going to be very helpful for this church as well. So I need 10 women over the age of 21. 10 men over the age of 21, to be a part of this. And I have to draw them from the deepest pool I can. In other words, if I got 50 gals and 50 guys that said, yeah, I'll be a part of this focus group, I have to choose randomly from those people who will be part of a 45-minute focus group on December 1st. If you would be willing to do that, just check that box right there. And then what I'm going to ask you to do with these cards, once you fill them out, make those commitments between you and God, and then if you'd be willing to be part of the focus group, fine. Yeah, you can check that box right there. I'm just going to ask you on your way out, face down, to put them along the edge of the row near the aisle. So for you guys way over on the side, it'd be on the aisle side. For those of you here, either side, either aisle, right? And we'll pick those up. Now, you can do all the memory work. You can read all the devotionals. You can fill out the response card and be willing to be a part of this. You can do all of that. And if that's all you do, you'll be a Pharisee. Okay? Those things we're doing and asking you to engage in, those spiritual disciplines we're asking you to engage for the next 5 weeks, we're doing that for one reason. One reason alone. So that you will actually go out and with your neighbors, with your family, with the people you work with the people on your prayer cards, through your interaction with God and the spiritual disciplines, we're praying that He would actually guide you, lead you, provide opportunities for you to actually love others as you love yourself. Because think of what will happen in our church. If the practice of loving one another like we love ourselves just steps up a notch. Think of what it'll mean to you as you love others in this congregation like you love yourself. Think of the fulfillment in your life and in theirs. And think of what happens to an entire church as we do this together, friends. Think of love becoming a way of life here. And if that's not enough to say, yeah, I'm in for the next 5 weeks to try and ratchet that practice up a notch, then just think of Jesus' words. There is no greater commands than these. So, over these next 5 weeks, friends, we're just focusing hard on what it means to love others as we love ourselves, because this is the new commandment that Jesus has given us. And there's nothing more important that you could do with your life. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, help us to draw close to Jesus. Help us to see who He is, what He's like. Use these spiritual disciplines, I pray, and for all who engage them, Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll just fill our hearts with who You are. And like we sang earlier, I pray that the glory of God would be released in the fact that we love others like we love ourselves. And maybe more important than that, we love others like Jesus loves them. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this church would become known more and more as the church where they love people really well. I don't think there's anything greater that we could do to reveal the glory of God than to love each other like you love us. To love each other like we love ourselves. So help us to do that this week. Help us to take every opportunity to go out of our way to love somebody just a little bit more than we normally do. In the name and through the blood of Jesus and for the sake of his kingdom and his church, I pray this for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.